The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
Netball Show with Flyhawk, busy week. Tell me about it. Britt Carter from ABC and the Netty Life joins us. And first of all, Britt, hope you've been okay.
Hi, Andy. It's nice to catch up with you because I don't think we've really spoken, certainly not in voice terms, since I saw you at Com Games. So it's nice to hear your voice.
What on earth is going on with the game that we both love at the minute?
Yeah, it's at the moment, it's really hard to say what's going on in netball. Things are not looking so good at the moment. I'm sure you've been keeping up to date with what's been happening, but let me know what I can fill you in on if you haven't been keeping up with it.
Yeah, I mean, Wasps over here in a bit of a crisis, as are the Diamonds, really, with the news that Hancock have removed their investment.
Yeah, I did see that news about Wasps. It's really sad. I hope that, from what I can see, it looks like the Super League is looking to try and fix that for the netball team at least. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that they can keep themselves afloat and participate in the Super League again next season. So if for anyone that hasn't been across the situation over here, basically Netball Australia signed a $15 million deal with Gina Reinhart, who owns Hancock Prospecting, which is a mining company here in Western Australia. And this deal was signed without the consultation of any of the players. So basically, they found out when it was announced to the rest of us, when a media release and also a press release went up on the website and shot through to our inboxes, basically, is how the players found out. So the Players Association, we've been told, was told that something like this in the works with a mining company was happening. We think about July that they might have got the heads up. But at that point, there was a lot still under wraps. It was quite confidential. So they weren't told which mining magnet it was, which company it was. And, you know, there's a couple of big, rich people that work in that space here in Australia. So it sort of didn't become apparent till later down the line, and perhaps after the Commonwealth Games is the time frame we're now thinking, that they found out about this Hancock Prospecting deal for the first time. So that's all sort of been signed and done. But the issue that has been raised in the last couple of weeks is that we now have Noongar woman Danelle Wallum, who is part of the Australian squad, set to take on your team, England, very shortly, in a couple of days' time. And they had a media day where they were doing a lot of filming, promo shots, you know, interviews, all that sort of stuff to try and pump up the coverage around these Constellation Cup and England Test Series matches. Yeah. And at that time, the players were presented a dress and it had the Hancock Prospecting logo on it. So there is footage of Danelle actually wearing that dress with that logo, because I know that because ABC 730 Report, which is a current affairs program for the media organization I work for, was currently doing a piece on Danelle around that time. And they went to the media day and got a lot of footage of Danelle to help sort of color that story. And then later on they were told, oh, could we perhaps not use a lot of that footage where she's wearing the logo because there's a bit of an issue. So we at the ABC sort of had an inkling something was going on before all of this started being made public, this whole debate and discussion about whether they should wear the logo or not. But it didn't really come to light until after the first Constellation Cup game, because people saw the players take the court in New Zealand for that first game without any logos on their dress. And a few people that have been keeping up with the sponsorship and perhaps maybe didn't agree with it from a climate change perspective said, well, where's the logo? I thought that was supposed to be, that partnership was supposed to be in action at the moment. And so in the days that followed, we found out that the players perhaps had some objections to wearing it. Now we've been told that they never had any objections to wearing it for the Constellation Cup series. But there were certainly objections about whether Danelle Wallum and whether the rest of the team should wear it for the England Test Series, given in the days after the press, the media day where she was wearing the dress and was filmed wearing the dress, someone at some point has alerted her to comments made by Lang Hancock, who is Gina Reinhart's father, about 40 years ago, 30 years ago, where he basically suggested that Indigenous people should be sterilised so that they can be bred out and you know, their race would die out eventually, which is basically genocide. So very serious stuff, very horrible stuff to hear. And I don't think anyone my age, I've just hit 30, Danelle certainly, I don't think would have known about these comments until perhaps people older than us that were around when those comments were made alerted us to them, because Hancock has now died. He died in the 90s and Gina has taken over the company, but it's still run in his name. So I think it's all sort of blown up from there, Andy. I think that's a good background to it all. It's quite a complex story.
That initial investment was directly into the athletes, the coaches, and funding support for the Diamonds. So to lose something like that is quite a blow.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, $15 million. So Netball Australia is currently in they lost $7 million across the past two financial years. And they were $4 million in debt when they released their financial statements for the end of financial year this year. So if you add those together, that puts them $11 million in debt. So if you think about $15 million, that not only would have covered that, but then would have given Netball Australia about $4 million to play with and invest back in their high-performance system and to the players as well. So it is a huge blow. And now Netball Australia is in a really fragile position when it comes to its financial status, because it doesn't know where the next sponsor is going to come from. It's already turned a couple back to take on this Hancock prospecting deal. So, yeah, it's going to be really tough for Kelly Ryan now this controversy has blown up and become as big as it has, to try and interest some more people in taking up the sport and supporting the sport. However, I do have faith that there are people out there that perhaps have seen what have happened, have seen the way the Diamonds have carried themselves on the court, have seen that they've stood with their teammate Danelle Wollam throughout all of this. And the fact that she doesn't feel comfortable and has come out and said, "I don't feel comfortable wearing this," and has been quite brave to do that before she's even made her debut for her country. Hopefully there's someone out there that has a big fat wallet that is respecting of that and wants to align themselves with a strong, educated bunch of women that want to stand up for things that they believe in. So I'm just hoping and keeping my fingers crossed that there is someone out there like that. But you're right, there it is a huge blow for the sport losing $15 million.
Tensions maybe been a bit fragile for years between Netball Australia and the Aussie NPA. So what are they saying about it, for those that haven't seen Joe's tweet?
Yeah. That is a bit of a mess, that relationship. Like you say, there's been several things that have contributed to that before we get to this point. And I think that context is important, because had we have this situation as an isolated situation, I don't know if it would have blown up the same way it has. So if you take into consideration the moving of the grand final for Super Netball this year for financial reasons, after we found out how much the sport was in debt, not keeping players in the loop for either of those things, and that grand final news being dropped on them a couple of weeks before the Vixens perhaps thought they might be hosting a grand final. So I think, you know, that doesn't help things. There's a bunch of other things that have happened. It's easy to see what's going on, but, you know, we've had salary cap issues and, you know, controversy around perhaps the way that's been handled, whether the punishment was enough or not. There's been so many things, the whole Gemma Maimai scandal. Basically though, I think what it comes down to is that Netball Australia clearly hasn't learnt from any of these previous issues, in that they really need to be having these discussions with people like the Australian Netball Players Association, like a player representative, like even the First Nations Advisory Board that was implemented in the wake of what happened with Gemma Maimai in 2020, that are supposed to be overseeing all these major decisions, to be able to alert Netball Australia, hey, just so you know, you may not have realised, but Lang Hancock's made these comments way back when, and they were probably still hurt and cause a lot of pain for people to know that we're aligning ourselves with that brand. So basically, I think it comes down to the fact that there's not enough communication between all parties, and that they haven't learned from these past mistakes, which is really unfortunate.
Kate from the Netty Life podcast, she speaks a lot of sense, and she raised questions about if there was something wrong at Netball Australia and how things there need to be fixed quickly. She had a valid point.
Yeah, Kate does make a lot of sense. I love doing a podcast with her, and I know you're great friends with Kate, Andy, and Yeah, she's just at another level, that woman. Really great and, so you know, such a netball nerd, and I love it. I think there are real issues that need to be addressed there at the moment because, as I said, if they haven't learned from the past mistakes about keeping the players in the loop, having a collaborative approach to these major decisions, and this is going to keep blowing up and dragging netball and the sport through terrible headlines, because we, you know, I could count probably 5 or 6 instances where netball has been in the papers for the wrong reasons over the past 12 to 18 months. If they're not going to learn from that, then what does that say about the people that are in charge at the moment? Do they not care? Is it ego that's preventing them from breaking down those barriers and apologizing for what's happened and perhaps opening that conversation and fixing that relationship? I know certainly that the players want to be in harmony with Netball Australia, but things keep happening that means that they don't want to be in harmony, because it honestly feels like every time the cracks are painted over that they do something again and those cracks get bigger each time. So we've seen that Marina Go in recent days has stepped down from her position of chair of Netball Australia. Now, we're told that that's not linked to anything. We're told that that was actually planned and there's no great time for any of this stuff to happen. But what it does mean is we now have someone called Wendy Archer, who is a through and through netballer, grew up playing the sport, has life membership with Netball New South Wales, is very embedded in the culture of what netball stands for and within the community. So she's taken on that role of chair now. And so people like myself and Kate are hoping that perhaps, it's difficult to say because she was already on the board. She's been on the board this whole time, but I don't know if her role as chair gives her a little bit more presence, more responsibility, because that's the other thing. Over the past few years where Marina Go has been chair, she's not always been willing to come out and talk about these issues when they're happening. It's either the CEO or we get nothing. And, you know, in a lot of the scenarios over the past couple of weeks where Liz Watson has had to come out and say, we are great supporters of Hancock prospecting on a TV program nationally, when obviously she's just trying to fix the situation that's going on, knowing that there's a conflict within the team and there's also a lot of money on the line. She's stuck between a rock and a hard place. I don't really think it's her responsibility to be talking at that point. I think the people that signed this contract for these netballers to be ambassadors before they even consulted them and asked whether they were okay with that should really be fronting up and talking to the press about why it's a good deal, why they decided to go ahead with it, why they didn't keep people in the loop. And I think Kelly Ryan has perhaps done a little bit more of that in recent days, but we certainly haven't heard enough from the people that actually made this decision. We've been forced to hear from the players, and I think that puts them in a really unfair position.
Have you had the opportunity to speak to anybody about it? I mean, what you heard today? What's the latest you've heard?
I have been talking to people behind the scenes. Not a lot of people want to go on the record, and that's because they're trying to fix this relationship, and also they don't want to put the Diamonds in any more trouble. I mean, they've just wrapped up the Constellation Cup series, and I feel like they're copying criticism left, right, and center from a bunch of people within the community here in Australia that don't probably even watch netball, probably may not have even known who Liz Watson was a week ago, and all of a sudden want to weigh in with an opinion about all of this. So the poor Diamonds have really been in the pressure cooker. They've had to cop a lot of criticism based off something that they weren't really involved in. So I have been chatting with people behind the scenes, but I say, no one really wants to go on the record. I think everyone that I've spoken to just thinks this is another mess. That's just the biggest thing we can take from all of it, that communication early on would have fixed a lot of this. And now we've got, you know, the Players Association and Netball Australia at loggerheads again, and that's boiling over into the media now. And, you know, I commend Catherine Harvey-Williams for coming out and speaking publicly and sharing her side of the story, because it feels like Hancock Prospecting, especially when they released their statements on Saturday morning explaining why they were pulling the partnership, did spin a lot of the information around it. They said things like, we never asked the players to wear the logo for the Constellation Cup series. Well, no, you didn't, because you wanted them to wear them for the England series, and you did insist and would not give an exemption to Danelle Wallum that she could not wear the logo. So in some sense, they're telling you facts, but they're spinning it in a way that makes it sound like, oh, we never asked them to wear the logo when it was a compulsory part of the deal. And they also said, oh, we wouldn't expect anyone that doesn't believe in what Hancock Prospecting does to wear the logo. Well, you did. So that's very easy to say now in retrospect, now that you're pulling your sponsorship. So I think there's been a lot of misinformation and spin out of there. And perhaps that's why Catherine now has felt buoyed to come on to a national program like Summer Grandstand, which is held on ABC Radio over the weekends, and explain her truth and explain what has been going on in her perspective behind the scenes. But it has been hard over the last 2 weeks to find out where the fact is and the proper timeline for everything, because we've got tidbits left, right and center of what people want you to hear. And that's why I think this has just become bigger and bigger as the days have gone on, because everyone is sort of getting enraged about perhaps a little bit of misinformation they've heard or a bit of spin they've heard, rather than knowing the full story. So that's why I think a lot of people don't want to go on the record at the moment. And a lot of the former Diamonds have been very quiet about this. In the Fox Netball broadcast that we've had of the Constellation Cup series, they've touched on it for maybe a minute max and then gone, yeah, let's move on. Let's get back to the action. So yeah. I'm very conscious of the fact that the former Diamonds probably don't want to do anything to put the Diamonds in a worse position, but it also doesn't feel like there's been a lot of vocal public support for Danielle Wollam at this point. So I find that a little bit disappointing.
It's having a knock-on effect around the league as well, because, I mean, Fever have lost that partnership with Roy Hill.
Yes. Yeah, and they have. And they put a statement out on the weekend saying we are collateral damage for the national situation, and they're not wrong. I mean, when they announced their partnership with Roy Hill, I didn't see anyone criticise them for that, and perhaps that's because there are different attitudes towards mining and that sort of industry in Western Australia. I'm not really sure, but I think that really their link with what is happening at a national level has only been brought to light since the partnership with Netball Australia. So they have lost a lot of money in the process. I am pleased to hear that we did hear the CEO of the West Coast Fever speak with ABC Perth. Today I saw a tweet go up saying that they have people that are interested in sponsoring them and filling the hole that they've just lost financially. So that is pleasing for me to hear. So this is what the tweet says. West Coast Fever CEO Simone Hansen says, someone has come forward to potentially fill the sponsorship void left by Roy Hill's departure. I don't know if they're going to match that money, but at least we know that there are other people within Australian communities and within the industry here that perhaps have a lot of money that are willing to invest in netball. So that's a good sign.
So far, you've had three ABCs and one mention of Fox Netball, but I'm going to let you off.
I'm sorry.
We're seeing a Bill Shorten being mentioned online as well. Who is he and what could maybe he do?
Yeah, so Bill Shorten used to be the opposition leader. I'm trying to remember if he's been our prime minister at one point. Isn't that terrible? No. Andy, honestly, the politics
I know,
here
but
have
we're
been
going through them. Goodness knows what kind of rate
the same.
Minutes, don't worry.
You're doing the same thing. Yeah. So he previously served as the opposition and leader of the Australian Labor Party. Yeah. I don't think he was ever quite our prime minister. I just know that he was up for the role. And that really sounds poor from me, but we've had so many changes in prime minister the last couple of years. Who would even know? So basically, yeah, that's who he is, a former leader of the opposition. And I'm told that he was involved way back helping to set up the Players Association a long time ago. So perhaps, you know, he has an interest in netball in that sense and an investment in what's happening with the Players Association and where their views are. So it does seem like this is now bleeding into a political sense. I have also seen a couple of former MPs tweet about their disapproval of the way it's been handled, but at the moment, we haven't heard anything more than that. So I don't know if he's just expressing his, you know, discontent with how everything's going down or if something's actually going to happen there.
And let's look the complete opposite side of things. The Constellation Cup win adding to the Com Games, and not a bad year to be a diamond on court, at least.
Well, yeah, well, on court, like you say, on court, it has not been a bad year. I mean, Quad Series win, winning back gold at the Commonwealth Games, and now we have the Constellation Cup back in the trophy cabinet. I think that we could really commend Stacey Mirinkovic for a lot of what's happened there, because despite everything that has rocked the sport in the last 12 months, she has kept them focused about what is happening on court. So I do not know how they pulled themselves together and had the strength to win game 3 and game 4 with so much criticism being thrown at them, the Diamonds. But I felt like we very much got back to the classic New Zealand and Australia contest. It felt like it was really developing more so into that Trans-Tasman rivalry we're used to in the final two games at least. And Australia had a bit more fight about them, which was pleasing, especially being able to play back on home soil for the first time in more than 1,000 days. But yeah, it's hard to sort of say what happened to the Kiwis there. They just weren't able to deal with the tactics and the position changes that happened in that third quarter in game four. And so even though they won three out of the four quarters, they lost that third quarter, and that was the defining moment in the game. But and the penalty count was massive. I don't know if you were paying attention to that, but very physical contest, and the umpires were encouraged to blow their whistle a little bit more in game four, because I know that the Silver Ferns approached them between game three and game four, and it actually racked up on the Silver Ferns side of things. So perhaps something needs to be done there and addressed by both teams, because really the counts were too high, but they were great games in the same sense. So I'm reluctant to also say that, because I enjoyed them watching them. So I think the Aussies will be very pleased they have that back. And now we take on England, which is going to be tough.
The way things are there, it's tricky to predict the outcome at the minute, but certainly one to watch and almost changing on a daily basis, really.
Yes. Yeah, the situation is definitely still developing. It won't be the last you hear of it. By the time you upload this podcast, Andy, I'm sure there'll be something new out there in the world, and everything I've said may be thrown out the window again. Who knows? I mean, the situation has just been developing so quickly, and you know, even on Saturday when Hancock pulled their sponsorship, I was supposed to have a day off that day, and next thing I knew, I was right in the thick of it, and was late to my friend's birthday dinner, which she was not very happy with me about. But such is life
but
at the moment.
Such is life.
It's right. Such is netball at the moment. And I just hope that your England Roses are coming here and ready to play, because, you know, it's been nice that they haven't had as much attention on them, I think, coming into this match after bowing out of the Commonwealth Games without a medal. And, you know, I think they'll have a lot to prove here on Australian soil after missing out on a bronze. What do you think about that England Test series?
I think that the side that Jess has got together has really given us plenty of options. So watch out.
Yeah, watch out. Yeah, I like it. I'm always out for a bit of banter, so you can throw it my way. Don't be afraid to. Good luck to your Roses team.
Don't need it. We'll be fine.
I'll take the good luck then. Give me a good luck for the diamonds.
Yeah, okay.
I'll take that.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky HD, Sky Q, and Sky Glass. Select sport, and we're on the podcasts rail.